This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today marks the 8th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing, the first major terror attack on U.S. soil after 9/11. All of us here at Radio Boston are in solidarity with those who suffered as a result of that attack. 9/11 itself is also in our minds today. After President Biden announced he would withdraw all remaining troops from Afghanistan by September 11th, 2021. It's not lost on anyone that that's 9/11's 20th anniversary. Former President Donald Trump had made conditional plans to withdraw the remaining U.S. troops from Afghanistan by the beginning of May. Here's Biden making his announcement from the Treaty Room yesterday, the same place President Bush outlined military strikes on Afghanistan in October 2001.
We cannot continue the cycle of extending or expanding our military presence in Afghanistan, hoping to create ideal conditions for the withdrawal and expecting a different result. I'm now the 4th United States president to preside over American troop presence in Afghanistan. 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats. I will not pass this responsibility onto a 5th.
It's a global plan with local implications. Boston has particular and painful roots in this 20-year war. It resonates so deeply with people from our communities who have served. Folks like Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. He served in the Marine Corps, and he did 4 tours of duty in Iraq. We caught up with Moulton earlier this afternoon, and we began with his reaction to the withdrawal timeline.
I want to bring the troops home as much as anyone. But I want to make sure they can come home for good. And we've got to be really smart about how we do this, because if you remember what happened in Iraq is we withdrew and then had to turn around just a year later and put more troops back in to refight battles we had already won at the cost of more American lives. So I want to bring the troops home, and I'm glad that the president is working on that. But now we've got to talk about exactly what that looks like so we can get it right.
So explain for us what the similar or comparative risk of having to go back looks like here. What would cause that?
Well, first of all, it was a long time ago, 20 years now. But let's not forget why we went to Afghanistan. It was because terrorist training camps there helped the attacks of September 11th. And it's no mistake that, or I should say, it's not a coincidence that over the past 20 years, there hasn't been another 9/11 scale attack on the United States. Partly that's because of the work that our troops have been doing in Afghanistan and because of their sacrifices. So there remains the potential for a serious terrorist threat from the region. We also know that it's because of a base in Afghanistan that we were able to launch the raid in Pakistan against Osama bin Laden. And anyone who's actually spent any time on the ground in Afghanistan knows that it's a real blessing that Afghan girls are able to go to school now, millions of them, who never had that chance, not even that dream before America's presence. So for all the problems of the Afghan war, for all the mistakes that have been made, there are still a few narrow but compelling reasons to make sure we have some sort of continued presence, even if we withdraw the majority of our troops.
So there were 3 things in what you just said. There was a section about mission, there was a section about maintaining a presence, and there was a section about the people there. And I actually want to go to each one of those. You talked about our original mission 20 years ago. Did our mission change, whether that's the stated documented mission or the implied mission over time? Especially, why were members of our armed forces from our communities, for example, there after, say, Osama bin Laden was killed?
Yes, the mission did change, because originally we went there just to find and capture or kill the terrorists and those who supported them who attacked us on 9/11. And then we got into nation building. And many people recognized that we were doing a good thing in helping Afghanistan move away from the Taliban and their brutal, oppressive regime and give the Afghan people a chance at democracy. But of course, there's been a big debate about what America's role should really be in that endeavor. And I, for one, think we went too far. We took on too much with much too optimistic expectations for what we could honestly accomplish. That's certainly a mission that we have to scale back.
What makes you say that?
Well, I've been on the ground in Afghanistan. And I mean, look, if you really want to bring American-style democracy to Afghanistan, I think it's going to be a 50 or 100-year effort. And that's not what we've signed up for as the American people. What I want to see is America giving the Afghan government a chance so that girls can continue going to school, so that women have a place in government, and so that the Afghan people have some say in their democracy.
So it's like you're underscoring the rock and the hard place there, Congressman. The people there, that was another piece of this that I wanted to pull back out with you. You're talking about it there. So we've got this challenge, because you made the comparison to Iraq, where we wound up having to go back and there was great destabilization. We're not in it for 50 or 100 years. We've been in it 20 years. Is this an impossible proposition?
I don't think it's impossible, but it's hard. The one thing we've learned in the last 20 years is it's much harder to get out of these wars than it is to get into them. But let me paint a bad scenario, what we don't want to see happen. What we don't want to see is all the American troops withdraw, the Taliban immediately takes over. They ruin the lives of millions of Afghans, especially those girls who finally see a chance at having a bright future. And they also start setting up terrorist training camps again, with groups like ISIS that have an explicit intention of attacking the United States. I fear that if that happens, very shortly we'll see American troops going back in. And if they have to fight the same battles again to retake territory that we gave up, literally to just occupy bases that we could have simply maintained at the cost of no American lives, then I think we'll look back on that as a mistake. Tiziana, I want to bring the troops home too. I just want to make sure we do it responsibly to ensure our national security.
Do you believe that if we withdraw the remaining 2,500 troops by September 11th, 2021, that we are running too big a risk of creating the worst case scenario you just laid out?
Well, it depends on what we do between now and then, but that's why this is hard. And I think we've got to be very thoughtful about really answering three questions. What kind of commitment are we willing to make to the Afghan people and the Afghan government? The president and the administration have said that there will be a commitment, but we don't know what. Two, what do we need to do to prevent the rise of terrorist training camps in Afghanistan again? And three, what sort of regional presence do we need? Because the whole region there, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, is unstable. It's destabilizing to many parts of the world. And there are a lot of enemies of the United States there, whether we like it or not. If we can answer those three questions clearly, conclusively for Congress and the American people, then I think we can be very clear about what remaining mission we have in Afghanistan and what we need to do to accomplish it.
So I've been mindful of late of the muscle in the Massachusetts congressional delegation right now. You're speaking very clearly about what you want to see. Congressman Stephen Lynch, who's the Democratic chairman of the House Oversight Committee's National Security Panel, released a statement. I'm going to read you just a piece of it. Quote, "While I certainly share the desire to disengage militarily from Afghanistan, withdrawing all U.S. troops by September still comes with significant risks. Under current conditions, the potential Taliban overthrow of the Afghan government remains a strong possibility. Civil war would seem a virtual certainty," end quote. How much power does the Massachusetts delegation have, and what can it do to make sure that the Biden administration puts in place the three criteria you just talked about?
Well, I think we're in a good position because we have a president who's willing to listen. And I'll never forget, Tiziana, when President Obama was deciding what to do about Iraq, and I frankly disagreed with him. There was one evening when I gave three interviews in a row on TV, CNN, CNN International, maybe Fox or something like that. And just after I finished, I got a call from the White House. And I said, oh, here we go. They didn't like what I said, because I was very critical of the administration. And after they patched me through, someone got on the line and said, "Seth, now I know why I supported you." I'm very proud of you. And I said, wait, did you hear the interview? Are we talking about the same thing? Because I was very critical of the administration. And he said, no, I know you were, but we need your voice. And I appreciate it. And that was Vice President Joe Biden. So I don't think President Biden expects us all to be yes men or yes women here. I think he wants to hear the opinion of people like myself who've fought in the Marine infantry, Steve Lynch, who sat on the committee for a long time. I think that he wants to hear our opinions. And ultimately, he understands that this is a decision that Congress should make. It's the administration's policy in the short term, what we do here. But whether we send Americans to war is written in the Constitution to be Congress's decision. I think we've got to get back to that. And I think Joe Biden agrees.
I am struck that we are having this conversation on the 8th year anniversary of another terror attack on U.S. soil. It's the Boston Marathon bombing, and there are a couple questions I want to ask you about that, but I just want to start by marking the moment with you. How are you? Are you thinking about it? Is it weighing heavily on you today? What are you thinking about it?
I do think about it. I think it's very personal to everyone who comes from Boston or is proud of the city. And it's a reminder that national security threats don't just come from overseas. They come from here at home as well. And one of our responsibilities, those of us who work on our nation's security, is to balance our response to those threats, to make sure that we do what we need to do in places like Afghanistan to prevent another 9/11, but that we don't take our eye off the ball here at home with threats like we saw in the Boston Marathon bombing or what we saw with the insurrection in the Capitol on January 6th.
One of the things, and I almost don't know what to do with this juxtaposition, Congressman, but I'm going to put it out there and ask you to react to it. So it was a massive terrorism attack on U.S. soil on September 11th. Then we have the Marathon bombing. It is a domestic terror attack, but not the same kind of domestic terror that the FBI now says is our biggest terror threat. They say it's domestic violent extremists, and they say that stems from racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists. That is a huge change in a global war on terror and what we might frame as the terrorist threat in 2021. How do we fight our biggest terrorism threats today and counter those?
That's a great question. And from everything I know and the intelligence I've seen, I agree with the FBI's analysis. It doesn't mean the other threats are non-existent. In part, it means that we've just been very effective at dealing with them. But for too long in America, we've ignored the threat of violent extremists, particularly right-wing violent extremists that are so prominent today. Out of political concerns or perhaps racist officials in government, I don't know. We've not taken that threat seriously. And of course, I witnessed it firsthand being at the Capitol on January 6th. I saw violence that day that I never imagined experiencing as a member of Congress in Washington, D.C. I mean, it was the kind of routine you'd see in Iraq or Afghanistan, something I frankly expected in those environments where we were trying to defend a nascent democracy. But the fact that we had to deal with that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Capitol being breached, the fact that we had to deal with that just a few months ago shows how serious this threat is and how many more resources it requires to address.
Just listening to you just now, listening to you talk about your own experience there, do you feel that we are more or less safe today from terrorism threats on our soil than we were 20 years ago when this war started?
I think we're more safe today from a large-scale external threat like we saw in 9/11. And that's thanks to the brave work of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans in uniform, in the intelligence services, in local law enforcement, who continue to work every day to keep us safe. But there's no question that the domestic terror threat maybe not as large scale, maybe not airplanes flying into buildings, but nonetheless, a threat that will kill and maim our fellow citizens. That threat is bigger today than certainly it's ever been in my lifetime, and arguably perhaps bigger than it's been since the Civil War.
That is Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. He represents the 6th Congressional District. He served in the Marine Corps and did 4 tours of duty in Iraq. Congressman Moulton, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.